call the February 6th Plan Commission meeting order. Mr. Martinez, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
I'm here.
Commissioner Hogan.
Here.
Commissioner Buckhart.
Here.
Commissioner Haley.
Here.
Assistant City Engineer Sarah Arnold.
Here.
Alderman Dendria.
Here.
Commissioner Leon.
Here.
For once, we have a full house. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What you see on the wall behind us is the beginnings of moving out of 1972 to, I think we'll hit about 1996 here. Yeah. So anyway, in your packet, item B is the approval of the regular meeting minutes of January 23rd. Any additions or corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to business matters. No public hearings tonight. Item D1 is a plan development district site plan amendment for Ballpark Commons for the indoor-outdoor golf facility. Mr. Martinez.
So this application is a site plan amendment for the Ballpark Commons golf building facility. This site plan has been previously approved in 2018, and the applicant is, this building is located in the intersection of the Ballpark Drive, and it's a street termination. So the applicant is proposing some changes to the building footprint. It will be an increase, a slightly increased building footprint due to the addition of a trash compactor, an indoor trash compactor. And other changes includes decreasing the area of the second floor and third floor and reduce outdoor decks. So we have at the top the previously approved elevation, and at the bottom the proposed elevation with this site plan amendment. The applicant is also relocating some windows and entries, reducing the area of this material, the lumber aluminum siding. He's proposing more brick. And some changes to the Hinterhof. So at the top is the previously approved Hinterhof, and at the bottom is the proposed amendment. So the main changes is the changes to the ceiling materials from this wood aluminum siding to this more black material. Staff is recommending approval, but we are recommending to keep condition number 8 about soundproofing. The applicant is requesting to postpone this requirement after the building is completed. Staff is recommending to keep this condition as previously approved. We have also 3 additional staff suggestions. Okay, to maintain these the Hinterhof ceiling materials as previously approved, and on the elevations, to maintain the height of the parapet of the first level, because the building is located in this street termination vista. So the PDD requires that any building located in a prominent site shall be a landmark. It's not clearly defined, so we are proposing to maintain the parapet height. And the third suggestion is that staff is proposing to maintain the area covered by the lumber aluminum siding. Even though the brick material is a preferred material in the PDD ordinance. So it's not a PDD requirement, it's just a staff suggestion.
So staff suggestion is to maintain which parapet height? This one?
The first level.
So
it would be
this one?
Correct.
How is that different than this one?
2 feet only. It's only a suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Questions from the commission to staff? And the applicant is here. Questions for the applicant? Specific, Commissioner Leon.
Question for staff on the, excuse me, I believe it's a staff suggestion for the material on the siding, not a recommendation, right?
Suggestion, yeah.
What's the rationale behind it, other than PDD? What's the reason?
Well, it's not a PDD requirement because the applicant is proposing the brick, and the brick is a preferred material by the PDD. It's only a staff suggestion that the aluminum lumbar siding is like a higher quality.
Okay.
So I have a sample of the materials on the table.
So the reason is because of the higher quality material
in
the original.
Yes, but, okay. But the brick is acceptable by the PDD.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Commissioner Hogan, then Commissioner D'Andrea.
I have a question for the applicant. Can I do that?
Mike?
Up here or here?
Yeah, come on up.
Can you just explain to me why you want to wait until the facility is in operation before the sound?
It's a good question. Can you guys hear me?
Make it go green. Push the button. There you go.
How about this? Better? So the question was why wait for the insulated bay areas. So when the resolution originally came out, I think it was like 2 years ago. So what we learned with the stadium was that you can dial in the sound system in a way that, you know, ultimately it's about hitting certain decibel levels. So what we did with the stadium is we learned how the system worked and we dialed it in. And the mayor actually was out there helping us sort of dial it in. So for us, when we originally contemplated this, I think it was a suggestion, but now we know because of the sound monitoring devices what's acceptable and what's not, that while everybody's theory is that might be the right answer, we don't know. So our thought is, you know, we're certainly open to doing it, but it may not be necessary because if we can still continue to operate by not triggering, you know, the decibel levels at a certain level, we just thought that we'd save a few bucks. And I would say all of these suggestions are, it was a value engineering exercise is really what it was. The loan to construct, this building's been really finicky to get financed, and the loan to construction value is just not what we thought it would be, so we were trying to take out about $2 million worth of value on the building.
Well, I'm not understanding the cost value. What does that have to do with if you wait, you won't have to get as much, or you won't have to go as high to keep the sound down, or what? I'm not understanding.
The sound issue, or just the economic part? I just want to make sure I answer
the sound issue.
So the fact is,
when this was proposed, we had a whole audience full of neighbors. And could you bring up the when you had those the other one where they showed the where the people live, where the residents live?
Oh.
Yeah, the site plan, that's it. Thank you. Is this all the neighbors right here?
No.
Where?
Way over here.
Left.
Okay.
I mean, way over here.
Okay.
And what's in between the golf building is also the indoor center, which is 45 feet in the air. So we think that that's going to have a significant positive impact. So the rules that we're governed by at the end of the day are we have to keep sound within a certain decibel levels.
Right.
And we installed and paid for monitoring devices. So back when this resolution was passed, we didn't contemplate where we're at today.
Okay.
So the thinking is that we would, if that's what we need to do, we're certainly we'll do it, but we just don't, you know, it's a theory. We just don't know that putting soundproofing in the bays is actually going to be materially impactful. If it is, we'll do it. But we just don't want to spend the money if we don't have to.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Yeah.
Mike, I think he hit the point. I see where the bankers are coming from.
Right.
You're not getting the value out of the appraisal to justify the dollar amount that you want to borrow.
Right.
So inevitably what's going to happen, if that happens, you need to take more cash and put it into it to offset, to get them down to an acceptable loan LTV.
That's right.
When you're talking about sound barriers, why don't you go back to the interior design, Riglio? Those sound barriers are between the stations, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. And so I see why at first you want to eliminate them. You're leaving enough space in there in case you need to put the sound barrier information in or formations in there, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if we go ahead and say, okay, we can bypass this, that you're leaving enough space to be able to do it if we so need it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's set up, it's designed for that feature. I just don't want to do it if it's not material.
True. I think the sound barriers were more intended to create separation from group to group, and so we didn't have great loud people yelling across 5 or 6 or 8 stations to create additional noise off of the golf club hitting the ball and stuff like that, something to absorb that.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall the resolution, this is a while ago, it was to protect the neighbors on the west side. That was the spirit of a lot of these rules, which is fair. But what we learned with the stadium is that you can dial the system in. I mean, hitting the ball, I don't know that that's going to create an issue with the decibel levels. If it does, we'll install it. But I think we can control the environment in a way that doesn't trigger non-compliance with sound.
Sure. And then in the you're changing like the conference room, or you're changing the private party rooms on, I don't know what floor this is, to just a conference room type concept. Is that what you're trying to do?
Third floor.
So that's on floor three. Third
floor? Yeah. So on floor three, we are changing a conference room into 3 individual VIP areas.
Okay.
Alex, can you give us your name and address, please, for the record?
My name is Alex Van Austin, AV26 Hillcrest Drive, Tosa, Wisconsin, 53213.
Thank you.
Okay. I see what you're doing on the outside of the building. I like the wood grain more, but I also understand the finances of this project. I want to be assured, and you can let the group know, hey, if we approve these changes, you're going to get a loan commitment for this, and B, you have an agreed tenant that is going to also go in this, so we don't keep looking at this building and keep making changes year after or month after month after month.
Is that going to be a resolution? We've got an operator. I haven't announced who the joint venture is yet, but you guys have been really excited about it. But this just generally is about getting better financing terms. And frankly, when we look at the office building, and we look at the stadium, I too like the wood treatment, but I would say it was overdone a bit compared to everything else in the development. And I know it's the centerpiece, it's the landmark, but it still feels really good from my point of view.
Okay.
So this was just about trying to get to a loan to value number, so we didn't have to go raise more equity and change the terms. And
okay.
But we're still very excited. I know what you're saying, but it's $2 million worth of...
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that I won't approve the cosmetic changes on the outside. I want to make sure that if we go this route, that, hey, you're ready to go, okay, where your bank will give you the commitment, and B, the tenant, you've got a solidified tenant that... In a year plus, this is under operation.
Yeah, the tenant is not the problem. The tenants are not the problem. And I will, when I talk about this, when I'm ready to announce it, I think I've talked to the mayor about it. It's going to give great confidence to the project. But this is in the financing world, and I know you understand this. This is a project, much like the stadium, that they see as a, there's only one user, right? So they think about D-Day and what happens. And so we've also had to come up with a plan that if golf is not successful, how could we re-engineer it and convert it into an office building, which we've done that too. But the financing terms, I mean, they are what they are. They're just they're a bit outrageous and it's a bit predatory, but that's the debt market right now for these types of projects.
Correct. Well, I'm more concerned about that there's an operator in the
that's golf. Not yeah I can assure you on that.
Okay.
I can
okay.
assure the equity has been raised. It's the okay. trying to not pay an arm and a leg on the okay. debt on the debt.
Okay. Nope, I'm fine then.
Okay.
Commissioner Leo.
So my question, I guess, initially would be to staff, but then if we get some responses from the applicant, and I understand routine field is a different venue, different sound coming out of there, that sort of thing. I live straight line distance, half to three quarters mile due south. I noticed during the summer that there were times, especially early on, that I could hear fireworks and maybe the crowd when it was especially loud, but basically nothing else. And even then, only when I was outdoors, right? Nothing from indoors. So, but I'm far enough away that some of that sound would dissipate. We're talking about the neighbors to the west. You're going to have neighbors immediately to the south soon. Last summer, what type of complaints, sound complaints, were registered from neighbors? And I don't know if anybody on staff can answer that tonight. And then what did you do, after we get that, what did you do to mitigate? And you touched on it, some of the stuff I think you said you did with the mayor, but I want to hear a little bit more in detail, if possible. Like, what were the complaints and what was done to resolve those complaints?
I don't know. Regulo, I don't think
I don't
can.
Know. I don't know.
I can do that. It depends on the timing of the complaints. If it was the opening, I'd say a month.
Can I be more clear? I'm